Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Daniel in the lion's den, that's Daniel in chapter 6. Classic passage of scripture, pretty much everybody's familiar with it. And the truth is this, we are called of God to live in the lion's den. That is where we live today. Oh, I know there's no lion. Well, yeah, there is. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Know this morning, Satan is on the hunt. He's looking for the weak, he's looking for the wandering. He'll slip in the side door. You've heard me say this before. He doesn't play by the rules. Lions are vicious creatures. Sometimes being from Michigan and having the Detroit Lions, I have to remind myself of that periodically. But lions are vicious animals. The king of the beasts, including the tail, sometimes 12 feet long. 425 pounds, many male lions. They're vicious. Their tongue has sharp-like cells on it where they actually can lick the skin off of their prey. And they do that often. Big claws, fast, you know, large teeth. You're familiar with that. So when we think of Daniel in the lion's den, I want you to put it all together. One man, I read this last week, he said it this way. He said, it wasn't Daniel in the lion's den. Truth is, it was the lions in Daniel's den. You know, he was completely protected by God. Of course, he didn't know that right from the get-go, or if he did, he was still, you know, he was willing to follow God either way. Daniel chapter 3, the fiery furnace. Daniel in chapter 6, now Daniel's about 80 years of age. Darius is king. Look at the last couple of verses of chapter 5. And that night was Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old, or 62 years of age. Babylon is now part of the Medo-Persian Empire. It's a brand new leader. Daniel rose to the top with every king. I think he lived through four of them during his 80 years with every king. And a new king had come, he'd be right down at the bottom. But God, Daniel had an excellent spirit, and God was able to use him. And what I want you to understand, along with a lot of little tidbits I'm going to give you this morning, a little Bible truths, great Bible truths, I want you to know that no matter how bad things may get or are in your life today, it is God's will for you to be in this world and make a difference like Daniel made in the Medo-Persian Empire, like Daniel made in the Babylonian Empire. You understand, when he was taken from Jerusalem as a teenager, he looked back over his shoulder at Jerusalem, never to see Jerusalem again in this life. Never again made it back to the homeland, to Israel. Never again. He was a teenager with an excellent spirit and a young man who was willing to stand for God. And through test after test after test, he was counted faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1 of chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no charge. So the king Darius, he set up 120 princes, and over top of the princes of the different provinces, he set up three presidents, if you will. And over top of the three presidents, there was Daniel. Man, how did Daniel get to the top like that? That's amazing. And for whatever reason, all four of these ungodly kings had great respect for Daniel. They eventually ended up loving Daniel. They loved the God of Daniel. He had that kind of impact. It wasn't consistent. It wasn't through all the 80 years like that, but it happened time and time again. Daniel, it was once said, I read it said this last week, that the lions couldn't eat Daniel because he was all backbone. And you know what? There's some spiritual truth in that. He was a man of God. He was a young man of God, and now he's an old man of God. How do you get to be an old man of God? By being a young man of God and being consistent. You'll find that word several times in the book of Daniel. He consistently honored God. He didn't let the cosmos or the world system impact him. It was just the opposite. He impacted the empire, the world, and the culture in which he lived. God give us Daniels today. God give us men and women today who are men and women of the Bible with Bible convictions. Willing to stand for God. I don't need to tell you this before I get into right to the crux of the message. We're living in a tough day. It was bad a generation ago. It's worse now. Our teenagers are under attack. And that's what I'm going to preach tonight. There's a battle plan given to us from Scripture. They're under attack, maybe even more so than they have ever been. And if we're not careful, and it isn't here, it isn't just here. You need to know this. Every pastor I'm talking to, they're going through the same thing. It's like, you know, what is going on? Well, we're in these very last days. Boy, there's so much to preach about that. That's tonight. Some of that will be tonight. But let's go back to Daniel in chapter 6, verse 4. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4, let me get to verse 10. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Daniel was a man that lived above reproach. Daniel was a man who honored the Lord God Jehovah. There was a lot of envy. There was a lot of undercurrent in the kingdom of the Medo-Persians. There was a lot of people that wanted Daniel out of the way. Verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. He had that kind of testimony. He had that kind of reputation that these ungodly men, these idol worshipers, understood the only way they'd be able to cut Daniel off at the knees is if somehow they found fault in the way that he honored his God, because he was that consistent. Verse 6, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto the king, King Darius, live forever. And here they hatched their scheme. All the presidents of the kingdom, he says, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together. We've all gotten together, almighty king, to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. They stroked the king's ego, and it sounded pretty good to the king. King Darius loved Daniel, but they stroked his ego, and before he even thought out what he was doing, he signed a decree. And when the king ratified a law in the Medo-Persian Empire, it was set in stone. And it could not be changed. It could not be twisted. It could not be amended. It couldn't be taken away. It is the way it is going to be. That's the law of the Medes and Persians. All right? Verse 8. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. That's a lot of backbone. He's the man in the kingdom. Everybody's watching. All of his underlings that dislike him are watching, and they've set Daniel up. Now, Daniel prays three times a day as he was commanded to in 2 Chronicles, as we read about in Psalm 55. Three times a day, he would pray towards Jerusalem and honor the Lord God Jehovah. There's a key word in this verse, lest you think they tricked Daniel. They did not. This event in Daniel's life reveals his godly character. I mean, it makes it known so everybody knows. In verse 10, it says, now when Daniel, what's the next word? Knew. He knew about the decree. It had been published. He opened the windows to his chamber. And he got on his knees and prayed to the Lord God Jehovah, facing Jerusalem, three times a day. They had set him up. Man, this is conviction. This is a man of God. This is someone who's not going to compromise. He knows the command in Chronicles. He understands the instruction of Psalm 55. He is not going to change to fit the culture. He is going to swim against the culture. He's going to swim upstream. He's going to stand tall on his knees. And he's going to pray. He's not ashamed of Jesus. If Daniel were to go to a restaurant, even as a teenager, he would pray before he ate, and he'd make sure that without being showy about it, he wouldn't be ashamed. And people would understand he's not just scratching his forehead. He's serious about prayer. He's serious about serving God. We need that kind of man, that kind of woman in the world and culture in which we live. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day. That's serious prayer. And he prayed. and he gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. The culture did not change Daniel. Remember back in Daniel chapter 1? King Nebuchadnezzar changed the names of the three Hebrew children, and he changed Daniel's name. Now, he could change their name, but he couldn't change their heart. Daniel, from the beginning, as a teenager, he had a spiritual backbone. As a teenager, he was committed. We read at least three times. I better take that back and say two. He had an excellent spirit. There was never a chip on his shoulder. He was about honoring God. Daniel was about no compromise. He was a prayer warrior, a man of integrity. Let me say this before I get off of this. King's Kids is done. Prayer meeting is important. Man, it's, you know, some people got the mindset, well, oh, I'm going to take off Wednesday. King's Kids are done. This ministry needs to be prayed for. Man, we need a big, big crowd on Wednesday nights. It shouldn't trickle off once King's Kids is done. And by the way, if you're a worker in King's Kid, how about being a worker on your knees? I hope you've been doing that all year, all right? How about showing up to prayer meeting? Prayer meeting is the backbone of the church. This is the boiler room right here on Wednesday night. Man, without it, everything is going to fizzle. Man, we have got to bathe it in prayer. I'm going to get to that when I preach on that angelic warfare. It is a spiritual battle that we are in. Programs aren't going to get it done. You know, just dressing right, that's not going to get it done. It is a spiritual battle, and all too often the devil wins. So Daniel was a man of prayer. I want you to be a man of prayer. God wants you to be a man of prayer. Look at verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Now, in verse 11 and to some of the following verses, let me read just a little bit more. No idolatry, not for Daniel. Not for Daniel. He was a one God man. He was monotheistic. He understood it was Jehovah God. Let's translate it to the New Testament. Same God. It is Jesus first. It is Jesus only. It is Jesus everything in my life. And that's the way it's supposed to be for the New Testament Christian. We understand he's the only begotten Son of God. We understand what the Trinity is, the triunity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's deity. That is deity. Separate in office, one in essence. And Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus ought to be everything in your life. Everything. That's so important. There was no idolatry. Take your Bibles. Well, before you do that, verse 12. Don't worry, I'm okay. Verse 12. Then came near and spake before the king. They came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or any man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. That old Jewish man, that ancient Jew, that Jew boy, he's doing a disservice to you, king. Three times a day, he's been on his knees praying to the Lord God Jehovah. Three times a day. And I know that Darius, this hurt his heart. In fact, we're going to read about his lament and so forth in just a moment. But look at verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. And there was no way out. He thought, how can I do this? Is there a legal way I can spare good Daniel's life? I need him as an advisor. I need him over my presidents. I need him over all the governors. What would I do without Daniel? And he so loves God. There's got to be a way. No way. It's all settled. It's done. And I would remind you that many times you come to situations in your life, in the lion's den, where there's no way out. But God will make a way when there is no way. That's the God that we serve. We don't always have to understand. God knows exactly what he's doing. Go back to Exodus in chapter 20 real quickly. Exodus in chapter 20. I know you're familiar with the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, but let me just read the first couple of verses. Because here's what it is for Daniel. It's about no idolatry. He said, I'm not going to compromise with any man-made religion. I'm not giving up any Bible doctrine. I serve the Lord God Jehovah. Very first commandment. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Remember that. Jesus is the one that saved your soul. Jesus is the one that answers your prayers. Jesus is the one that's your great protector and your advocate, your mediator. It's Jesus, not the religions of this world. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. No other gods. Not philosophy, not education, not sport, not pleasures, not clothing, not popularity, not money, no other gods. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. I am a jealous God. Our God is God, and he's the ever-present God. Remember this. I tried to say this at some point last week. He's I am. He's the all-sufficient God. I am that I am. That's the one we worship. Not I was, not I will be. I am. He's the God of now. He's the God of the present. He's the eternal God that will never change, immutable. That's the God that we worship. Daniel understood there was no time for this foolishness where I couldn't devote my three times a day to God and ask great petitions of him and worship him. No time for that foolishness. If it means I get thrown to the lions and I get ripped apart, that's fine. But I'm honoring God. But again, did I tell you he had a spiritual backbone? Go back to Daniel in chapter 6. No idolatry. No time. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20, 21, John said, little children, this is for the New Testament church, keep yourself from idols. And it's an unusual place in the letter. It's like he just added it at the end. It doesn't really fit the text. But he's instructing third generation Christians. And he says, little children, 1 John 5:21, keep thyself from idols. Why do you think that we have to be reminded of that so often? Because if we're not careful, we'll become just like the system, the culture in which we live, and we will worship idols. How do you worship idols? By not honoring God. An idol is anything that comes between you and God. Anything, any person, any idea, anything that comes between you and God. That's important. It keeps you from church. It keeps you from Bible reading. It keeps you from your prayer closet. It's an idol. If you spend more time on your cell phone, more time watching Fox News, more time reading the newspaper than you do reading your Bible, I'm thinking you're out of proportion. We had to honor God. No idols. Three times a day. Got to take that up. Let's move on here. I want to get all the way down to verse 23, and I haven't read that far yet. Verse 14 says, the thing displeased the king. All right, tried to find a way out. Couldn't find it from the going down of the sun. Verse 15, then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and they cast him in the den of lions. We live in the lion's den. If you don't think so, get away from God just a little bit, and the culture will change you. Change your heart. Change your loves. Pretty soon you start to invent your own brand of Jesus. That's an idol. We worship the Jesus of the Bible, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, second person of the deity. Boy, good to remind ourselves of that. Cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said to Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually. He was a consistent man. He will deliver thee. It's really strange. Darius signs the decree, so Daniel is thrown in the lions then. Daniel's not going to change. The world changes, that's fine. Daniel's not going to change because his God doesn't change. And so it's the king that signs the decree that causes Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den. And then the king stands at the top of the pit and he yells down to Daniel, Daniel, or maybe he said it just before he got in there. Who knows? But Daniel, your God can deliver you. You consistently serve him. I believe your God can deliver you. Man, that's a strange situation. Strange circumstances. But let's read on here. See, obviously, the king doesn't want him dead. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting, neither were there instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. And all of his palatial, is that a real word, palatial, splendor and luxury, he couldn't sleep. You know what Daniel was doing down in the lion's den? He was fast asleep. A little poetic license. I'm not adding to the word of God. I just, you know how kitties purr? You know, they have that. I wouldn't have a cat in our house, but I kind of remember that, all right? Because kitties do other things that aren't, I don't really like, all right? So, you know how they purr? A lion, does it purr? Can you imagine Daniel? He got a little vibrator on his head. He's fast asleep because the angels shut the mouths of the lions. At least a angel. We know that. Let's read on here. Verse 19. And the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel! You can hear the cry in his voice. Servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually? Again, notice the testimony of Daniel. Who you've served continually, able to deliver thee from the lion's den. Then send Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. And you know that was a great sigh of relief on Darius's part. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. By the way, you truly honor God, and God will truly honor you. He'll take care of you, man. If you'll be that George Mueller of our day that truly believes God answers prayer, God will be there for you. If you'll be that John R. Rice of our day who just trusts God and preaches the truth and let the chips fall where they will, God will be there for you. Man, if you'll be that Daniel of the 21st century that is willing to honor, if you'll be that teenage Daniel that says, you know what? I know it may not be popular. I know a lot of people are going to laugh at me. Big deal. I stand for God. I stand for truth. No, I'm not going to the beer party. No, I'm not interested in those drugs. No. The immorality, that's not for me. I'm saving myself for marriage. You know, you can be that teenager that is consistent and different. And I'll make you a promise. God will honor you. He will honor you. Even if no one else around you, it may take a little bit of a journey, but he's going to bring you right to the top, just like he did for Daniel in front of all those heathen kings. Babylonian kings and Persian kings and Median kings, and God honored Daniel. He'll do the very same even when you're in the lion's den. And God will intervene and close the mouth of the lions. Let me continue to read. I'll get towards the end of the chapter. Verse 23, then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up. Get him out of there, out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. That sounds strangely familiar, doesn't it? Remember the fiery furnace? They didn't even smell like smoke. Three Hebrew children, not only were their clothes not burned and their hair not singed, when they got them out of the fiery furnace, they didn't even smell like smoke. God was there for them. I want to say this again in case I don't come back to it and don't say it clearly at the end of the message, which I'm almost due. God will take care of your family. The journey may be rough sometimes, but if you don't take your eye, if you just keep your eyes on Christ and you'll honor Christ, he's the only one that can work everything out. And he will. That's the God that we serve. What a great Redeemer. Daniel said, no harm, no manner of hurt. Verse 24, then the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel. Uh-oh, time to pay the piper, right? You tried to corner Daniel, you presidents, you governors. This was draining the swamp right here in a very literal way. You guys that were shooting down Daniel, you guys that set this whole thing up to the pit. Look what happens here. They don't have a protector. The king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children. The way of the transgressor is hard. And their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. The Babylonians would keep there, and the Medo-Persians, when they used a lion's den for the purpose of destroying their enemy, would keep those lions hungry. God intervened on Daniel's behalf like he will for you and for me or anyone that'll stand for God. But the angel wasn't there for the enemies of God. My Bible tells me in verse 24, when they were pushed into the pit, there were enough lions down there, their bodies didn't even hit the ground before the lions had them and broke all their bones. And I got to believe they weren't pushed in all at once. That had to be a little bit difficult. I would remind you, in case you're starting to follow the whims and the ways of the seductive world in which we live, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. It's hard. Verse 25, then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. And he delivereth. This is the God we serve, the immutable, all-powerful God. Verse 27, here's what King Darius learned from Daniel living through the lion's den. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Our God, here's what, we're living in the lion's den. If we'll have faith in God, if we'll stand for God, the world will have to take note that our God rescues, that our God delivers, that our God answers prayer. That's the beauty. Your family gets to see that. If you just live in the lion's den for the glory of God. Okay, I'm out of time. I'm actually 3 minutes over, 4 minutes over as far as being out of time. There's a lot of things I want to say here. I'll just say this. It's summertime, starting next week, almost. It'll feel like it, all right? It's already warmer. It's already started to green up, even since yesterday. Glory to God, all right? Summer's upon us. We are to be used of God this summer to build the church of Jesus Christ. I look around this morning. It's a good crowd. It's a good crowd. I'm not being a down about the crowd at all, but I see just a few empty spots. We got to change that. There are people around us that need to get saved, need to get born again. There are people just like the people we've seen saved in the last several weeks, and some of them baptized in the last several weeks. Man, they're out there just waiting to hear the truth. We got to get involved. You say, oh, but preacher, I'm in the lion's den. Perfect spot for God to work. God has you right where he wants you. Man, don't turn tail and run. Again, Wednesday night prayer meeting. Let's have a crowd. Let's have our old-time crowd here on Wednesday night. Let's get down on our knees and boldly approach the throne of grace and ask God for great things. Sunday night, tonight's message is really vital. It's about the next generation. It is, and I've been praying over this. I ended up praying over this 3 weeks because I didn't preach it last Sunday night. I mean, I'm ready to rip. I'm ready to let it, to preach it. But everybody needs to hear it. We all got teenagers. We all got sons and daughters and boys and girls. Some are a little older than others and some are young, but it's a big, bad world that we live in. And we better get in the battle. Maybe you got a coworker that you've not talked to about Jesus. God wants them in heaven too. Darius said, Daniel's God, he's the one that rescues. I saw it. He's the one that delivers. Even out of the mouth of lions. Daniel's God. He's the forever God.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.